I'd like to thank everyone for giving me the opportunity to speak to you this morning. Before I get started, I always like to mention that if I say anything wrong, please bring it to my attention. If I've read scriptures wrong or have said something wrong, I always count you as a friend if you point out and that I may correct it. So with that, thank you all for letting me speak this morning. I really enjoy putting lessons together. I really do. And one of the things that I used to joke with Abe about is he had to put two together every Sunday, and I put one together like every 3 months, so I got a lot longer time that I got to think about what my lessons was going to be. So I got to speak with Roger a little bit on Wednesday night about an idea that I've had for a while about not losing sight. I just thought that this would go really well with this morning, about not losing sight. So to kind of go along with not losing sight, I think of our physical sight. I think I mentioned a couple months ago, I went to the eye doctor, and he spent a whole lot longer looking at my eye than what felt comfortable. He kept looking at my eye, then would go back and look at my eye again. And if anybody's been to Dr. Smart here in Waynesville, it was like an hour-long process. And I, you know, it started to concern me a little bit about why he was looking at my right eye so much. Well, he saw some damage in my right eye and said, hey, you know, you need to keep an eye on this or you might lose your sight. Well, that's concerning, right? Any time that I think of losing sight, it's concerning. So he gave me this grid, and don't look at it too long or it'll, you know, mess with your eyes. He gave me this grid that I was supposed to look at every month and see if I notice any changes in my sight. And I don't know about you, but having that idea of losing our physical sight concerned me. I think of all of the senses that we have, and I think losing my physical sight would be one that I would be most afraid to lose, losing my physical sight. Being able to see the things the way that God made them. And with that, I have a lot of pictures today with our lesson, and each of these pictures I've taken, so we can put them online, don't have to worry about copyrights or anything like that, but I think of all the places that I've been and all the things that I've seen to go along with some of the verses today about not losing sight. So we are going to start talking about physical sight and lead to some other things with sight this morning. So with this, I'd like to read the first verse that I have here in Genesis 2 and 9, and says, "And out of the ground the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and for good." So I think of this, that God made everything grow and is pleasant to the sight. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So we see that God has made trees here that are pleasant to the sight. Here a few years ago, I got to go to the, I don't know how well that shows up, I got to go to the redwoods and the sequoias. And I think of how much I enjoyed seeing these things and about how hard it would be to lose my sight if I could never see these things again. So keeping in mind with physical sight, there's a lot of things mentioned here in the Bible. Now, we can keep going with Genesis, where it talks about where God made all these things, but I thought I would use Psalms here. Psalms 95, 4 through 5 says, "In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are his also. The sea is his, for he had made it, and his hands form the dry land." So I think of these things that I've seen with physical sight. This is a picture off the coast of Hawaii where they sunk a boat to start rebuilding some of the reef around the area. Because it talks about how God made the seas, that these are pleasant for us to see, and that he also made the mountains. This is Mount Hood, I'm going to guess. These are pictures that I've taken, these places that I've seen, and I think of how precious these things are to be able to have this physical sight. Now, we talked about the oceans and the mountains, but it also talks about the animals in Psalms 104, 24 through 25. "O Lord, how manifold are your works. In your wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your possessions, the great sea and wide sea in which are innumerable, teeming with living things, both small and great." I think of these things that I've seen with physical sight, and I think that if I was to lose this, I think of scuba diving. I've been scuba diving a few times. and actually to see the things that God has created, all of the fish and all of the plants that God has created, all these things that he's been allowed me to see, I think of how bad it would be to lose my sight. Also, I don't know if anybody has ever been in a cave before. This is Emma and I. We're in Ruby Falls in a cave. And I don't know if anybody's been in a cave where they turn off all of the lights. Where they go and they turn off all the lights, right? That's just complete darkness. They call it total and complete darkness. Now with that, with this total and complete darkness, I'd like to change gears a little bit from physical sight to actually talking about how God is light. Here in 1 John 1 and 5 says, fellowship with him and one another. This is the message which we have heard from him, and he declares to you that God is light and in him no darkness at all. So kind of changing gears here where God is light. God helps us see because we think of total darkness in a cave. We can think that God is light and he helps us see. One of the things that Jesus did often was to give people their sight. So change this to sight restored. So in Matthew 11 and 5, it says, the blind see the lame walk. The leopards are cleansed and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up and the poor have the gospel preached to them. So we see that one of the acts that Jesus does in healing people is the blind. I also have another verse here in Luke 7, 21 through 22, and it says that every hour he cured many of infirmities, afflictions, and evil spirits, and to many blind he gave sight. Jesus answered and said to them, go and tell John the things you have seen and heard, that the blind see, the lame walk, the leopards are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are risen, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. I think of these things that Jesus gave sight to the ones who are blind. I think of all of the things that if a blind person couldn't see, all of the wonderful works of God that they would be able to see. All of those pictures of things that I showed before. All of God's creatures, all of God's creations. But one of the things that God and Jesus also did was they took sight. I just think about this for a little bit. I'd like to turn over to Acts. Let's look at Acts 9. I actually don't have all of the verses up here, but I'd like to read Acts 9, 1 through 19. And then I'm going to just call out some of the verses, but I'm just going to read this real quick. I believe we have time this morning. So let's look at Acts 9, 1 through 19. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murders against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priests and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jesus. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So he trembled and astonished him, Lord, what do you want me to do? Then the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, that you will be told what you must do. And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were open, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias. And he said, here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Jesus for the one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. And in the vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming to him and putting his hand on him so that he might receive sight. Then Ananias answered the Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he was authority from the chief priest to bind all who call in your name. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is chosen vessel of mine, and bear my name before the Gentiles, kings, and children of Israel. For I will show him for many things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came to, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. And when he had received food and was strengthened, Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. So we see that Jesus removed Paul's sight. And I'm just kind of looking at these verses here. Now, Paul, in his eyes, was doing what he thought was right, where he was persecuting the Christians. He even had laws and decrees made that allowed him to bind people up. So in his sight, he was doing what he thought was right. However, this was not right, and Jesus removed his sight until he understood. And once he understood, he regained his sight. So again, I think about losing my sight, not only as in a direction, but as in physical sight that was taken from Paul. You know, I think of all of the wonders of the world that God has done. This is going into the bamboo forest in Hawaii. This is, you know, out at Monument Valley and the Grand Canyon. You know, I think of all of these things that I've seen, then have your sight taken away from you? To think that you might not ever see these things again, see or be able to read or to see loved ones again. To think if this was to happen. Now, to continue this thought, we do have some verses that kind of help us out here. But I did want to make that point about how Jesus healed the blind and they followed him. But for Paul, he had to remove his sight and regain it for him to understand to follow him. So I want to follow up with some verses that we might be able to use for this case. So here in Ephesians 1:18 says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, so that you may know what is the hope of his calling, that there are the riches of the glory of his inheritance of the saints. So eyes of understanding. Also, we have here in James 4:10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. I do believe that Paul would have been humbled in this case. And just think, we need to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord in order to do what he wants. So we need to keep our sights on heaven. We think of all of these things that we'd be able to see here on earth, all of the pictures and things that I've shared this morning. But we still need to keep our sights on heaven. So let's look over in Hebrews. Let's look at Hebrews 12:2. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our Father, whom for the joy that was set before him endures the cross, despising the shame, that he has sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. So looking unto Jesus, using our sights, whether physical or mental sights, focusing them on Jesus. Also in Titus 2:7-8, in all things showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, speech, sound speech, and cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be shamed, having nothing evil to say of you. So I was thinking of this verse of people seeing what we're doing. Can people bring anything to us? Are we doing what's right? How are we viewed in the sights of others? You know, are we keeping our sights? on heaven? And if we are keeping our sights on heaven, are we using that to teach others? So in teaching others, we also have things to deal with sight. Here in Acts 26, Acts 26:17-18 says, "I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles, to whom I now send you to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, and that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me." So in this verse, when we hear the words "open their eyes," does it mean physically or does it mean spiritually? Open their eyes. Now, we see that Jesus did this same thing in Acts that he did with Paul. He opened his eyes to see what he was doing wrong, to change his ways. Now, in this verse, it also mentions the Jews and the Gentiles. We know that this word was brought before the Jews and the Gentiles. So he's telling them that they need to go forth and open their eyes. Now, this might be the same case if we're studying with others. We might need to help study with others to help open their eyes unto the truth. Also in 1 John 3:22 says, "And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasant in his sight." Doing the things that are pleasant in his sight. Now, those are things that we're currently needing to do, to teach one another, to help one another, to pray with one another, and teaching each other so that our eyes may be open. Now, I was also thinking that we need to keep our sight on things ahead, to keep our sights on things ahead. And I'd like just to read this real quick from Philippians 3:12-14. "Not that I have already attained or am already perfect, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press forward the goal for the prize of an upward call of God in Christ Jesus." I'd like just to think about that verse for a second. Let's look here in 13. "But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead." I think that that's a good verse whenever we're thinking about what we need to keep our sights on, about looking ahead, forgetting those things that are behind and looking ahead. Because if we keep our sights on what's right, we'll inherit the kingdom of heaven. And I just wanted to end on this last verse, seeing the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. Here in John 3:3, Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." So most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. This verse should be powerful to us. We talked about physical sight, about how we would not want to lose our physical sight to see the creations of the things that God has created for us. We talked about our sight, as in making sure that we're doing things right towards God. But we're given this as almost a warning here in John 3:3, where it says, unless we're born again, we cannot see the kingdom of God. So if you would like to become a member this morning of God's church, if you would like to see the kingdom of God, it asks us to be born again. And if you would like to, you can come forward as we stand and sing the song that has been selected.